Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Spy balloon details. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, February 10th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Pentagon officials now say the airship that floated across the country was equipped with antennas for collecting intel and also had explosives to disable itself.
The death toll from a pair of earthquakes in Turkey and Syria is now more than 21,000. Families are racing to bury loved ones.
Former Vice President Mike Pence has been subpoenaed by a special counsel regarding the 2020 election.
And is it worth $7 million? For a Super Bowl ad.
The past Super Bowls, certainly 2021, and those were following hard years. And so nostalgia, ads that were able to tap back into the late 80s and the early 90s into themes of, you know, childhood for a lot of people. I think those are the brands that were exciting to watch.
Marketing expert Adam Ruzzieri on Super Bowl spots that resonate with viewers and when the big bucks are worth it. Rescuers are finding fewer survivors in the rubble as time moves further away from two devastating earthquakes in Turkey and Syria Monday. People are instead pivoting to burying the dead. At least 21,000 people have been killed. In Turkey alone, the death toll was nearing 18,000, surpassing the number from a massive quake in 1999. Tens of thousands more people were injured as thousands of buildings collapsed when the 7.8 and 7.5 magnitude quakes hit the border of Turkey and Syria. Didem Demirkarn is executive with Oxfam in Turkey.
There are aftershocks, so people are scared to enter into their homes, into their houses, even if they are not damaged. So people are sleeping in cars.
The demand for burial was so high that gravediggers started using excavators instead of digging by hand, working from 7 a.m. until past sunset. Every 2 to 3 minutes, another body was buried. A rush to bury the dead before nightfall, in line with Muslim custom. Security guards turned away people who tried to bring bodies in their own cars. We're getting more information about that Chinese spy balloon that traveled across the country. The Biden administration now says it carried antennas and sensors for collecting intelligence and communications. The new information was described yesterday by officials from the Pentagon, State Department, and FBI, who briefed lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Much of the congressional focus was on what steps the Pentagon planned to take in the future to prevent further incursions and why the balloon wasn't shot down over Alaska on January 29th. Montana Senator Steve Daines wondered why it wasn't shot down over his state.
They could have taken that balloon down, that spy balloon, and the greatest risk would have been hitting a cow, a prairie dog, or an antelope.
The balloon was shot down off the South Carolina coast last Saturday. The Navy is in the process of retrieving the debris. A State Department official said the manufacturer of the balloon has a direct relationship with the Chinese military. Multiple news outlets are reporting that former Vice President Mike Pence has been subpoenaed by a special counsel who was looking into efforts by former President Trump and his allies to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The move by special counsel Jack Smith represents an escalation in the Justice Department investigation. Mr. Pence declined to speak to the congressional committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol 2 years ago by Mr. Trump's supporters. But the Wall Street Journal says he has viewed the Justice Department investigation as different from the House inquiry, which he considered partisan. Mr. Smith was appointed in November to examine efforts to undo the election results. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Pence's former chief of staff, Mark Short, and his former counsel, Greg Jacob, last year appeared before a federal grand jury as part of the investigation into Mr. Trump's efforts to discredit the 2020 election results. Dell Technologies President's Day business event starts now with deals to power America's doers and dreamers. Save on select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. As a presidential candidate, Joe Biden promised to promptly reverse the failed Trump policies that have inflicted harm on the Cuban people. But as president, Mr. Biden's only moves so far have been a minor easing of travel restrictions and a few other modest changes. Insight from Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, who visited Havana last month. Rick, what's Mr. Biden's forgotten promise?
The short history here is that there have been U.S. sanctions on Cuba since the 1960s. President Obama, back in 2014, he actually said he wanted to try normalizing relationships, the relationship with Cuba, and that would mean, among other things, a lot more U.S. trade, U.S. exports to Cuba and imports from Cuba. He did that, but then President Trump reversed all of that, put sanctions back on Cuba, and that's where it stands now. Biden, as a candidate, said he wanted to go back to what Obama had done, start to open up relations so American businesses could sell more to Cuba. It just hasn't happened. There have been some very small types of easing. It has not affected the ability of U.S. businesses to sell stuff to Cuba. And I was in Cuba recently, and the way they experience these sanctions, at least from a business perspective, there are several thousand people don't know this because Cuba is still a communist government, but there are several thousand private sector businesses there that try to operate like normal businesses making a profit. And they just cannot get anything. And this is largely because of U.S. sanctions. The biggest problem they have is just getting components. Almost everything they need needs to be imported. And it's just horrendously difficult to import anything if you're a business in Cuba. And that's largely because of U.S. sanctions.
You know, you referenced a small business owner to open your piece. And I thought, wait a second. Small business owner. When did this happen in Cuba? But explain what that guy's going through, that Camilo Condis.
Yeah, I mean, this was a surprise to me when I visited, and part of the purpose of this trip I was on, which was organized by a group called the Global Interdependence Center, was to learn about what is happening in the private sector in Cuba. So the government there has eased up. You are allowed to open a business in certain parts of the economy there, as long as they don't interfere with what they consider to be the core areas where the government businesses have to operate. So this guy is an electrical contractor. He used to piggyback off the tourism industry, you know, work for hotels and other tourism type businesses. But tourism crashed in Cuba during COVID, and it has barely recovered. And this is causing massive problems in the Cuban economy. Mm-hmm. The Cuban economy is in a desperate situation, with shortages everywhere, and they just cannot get so many things. So he's trying to move his business over to doing solar panel installation. But like many other businesses, and I talked with some other business owners when I was there, it's next to impossible to get any components. You can't get anything inside Cuba. The biggest problem they have with importing is U.S. sanctions make it impossible to buy anything on credit or even to open a bank account outside of Cuba that you could use to pay for things. Wow. And people say, well, why don't you just open, do that kind of dealing with Europe and companies there? That's how extensive the U.S. sanctions are. I mean, when the U.S. government decides to impose financial sanctions, it can basically persuade just about any bank in the world, any real bank anyway, to go along, because almost every real bank has to deal with the U.S. financial system in some measure. So Cubans just cannot get credit. They literally have to pay up front in cash when they pay for imports.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His piece is called Biden's Forgotten Promise to Cuba. And Rick paid a visit there. So 2 points here. Explain the role of Florida politics in how Mr. Biden has approached this, and then what Cuba could do to perhaps help its own cause.
Yeah, if you were approaching this just as an economic problem, I think you would say, of course we should open to Cuba. Just to give you a sense of the opportunity, there are some U.S. products that get into Cuba now, but our total exports are only around $300 million with an M. If we had some kind of normalization with Cuba, that could go up to $10 billion. So multiples of the amount of stuff we sell now, and that would be chicken, rice. They need telecom equipment. They need internet services, all the tourism opportunities. So why isn't this happening? I mean, you would think you want to open a market where Americans could sell stuff, and it's mainly opposition from people, so-called hardliners, anti-Cuban hardliners, who either themselves had to flee Cuba in 1959 and lost just about all their property, or they have family members who who went through that. And I mean, you know, people in this community have just described it as a scarring experience. And these people are now, they're now politically powerful. There are more than a million Cuban Americans in Florida. Marco Rubio represents them. And they are still clinging to the idea that, nope, as long as there's a communist government there, we should do absolutely nothing to open up toward Cuba.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
As the temperatures plunge, anger is growing in Turkey over the government's response to two massive earthquakes earlier this week. With their homes destroyed, thousands are spending freezing hours huddled around small fires. Electricity and water are non-existent. Many are furious at what they say was a slow response from the government. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the U.S. is responding.
Two urban search and rescue teams from USAID, composed of 159 members and 12 rescue dogs, are now on the ground to support Turkey search and rescue efforts. We have also deployed approximately 170,000 pounds of specialized tools and equipment.
The death toll has topped 21,000.
Number two.
Former Vice President Mike Pence has been subpoenaed by Special Counsel Jack Smith, who is looking into efforts by ex-President Trump and his allies to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. The move is an escalation in the Justice Department investigation and sets the stage for a likely court battle over executive privilege, which lawyers for Trump have raised in recent years to block or slow the testimony of former administration officials in various probes.
Number three.
A top Southwest Airlines executive told lawmakers the airline is working to shore up operations and revamp technology in the wake of its December meltdown. Chief Operating Officer Andrew Watterson testified yesterday.
We prioritize enhancements to our crew scheduling software. We strengthen our early indicators dashboard to escalate operational issues earlier. We established supplemental operational staffing that can quickly mobilize to support crew recovery efforts.
Watterson says Southwest is implementing a software patch that is set to go into effect today. D.C. police say they have arrested a suspect in the Thursday morning attack on Democratic Congresswoman Angie Craig of Minnesota. The 50-year-old was attacked in the elevator of her apartment building near Capitol Hill. Police say the suspect punched her and grabbed her neck, and she fought back and threw hot coffee on him. She was bruised but otherwise unharmed. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes dominated the voting for the AP NFL Most Valuable Player Award. Now he'll try to break the MVP curse. Mahomes, who also won in 2018, easily outdistanced Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, receiving 48 of 50 first-place votes. The last nine MVPs to play in the Super Bowl that season, 0-9.
Whoa. What a stat that is. Yikes. You're right, MVP jinx. If you enjoy a few drinks with friends after work, working out, or on the weekend, you should try ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic. PhD scientists created this unique genetically engineered probiotic to help you avoid the rough morning after and get back to living your life. It's easy. Drink ZBiotics before you enjoy any alcohol, and it works throughout the night, breaking down the toxic alcohol byproduct that makes you feel awful the next day. So no matter what your tomorrow looks like, productive, playful, or just relaxing, don't let a few drinks wreck it. Have a bottle of ZBiotics before you drink. Practice healthy and responsible drinking habits, and you'll be ready to face the day. Right now, save 15% on your first order at zbiotics.com/Gordon. At checkout, use the code Gordon. Go for the six-pack and share with friends. If your night gets in the way of your day, ZBiotics could help. Save 15% now at zbiotics.com/Gordon. zbiotics.com/Gordon. Always drink responsibly. Thanks for joining us. Seeing a child endure drama over group chats is enough to send parents lunging for their kid's phone. After all, we have the skills to resolve disputes diplomatically, right? But Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal, says writing texts as your child is a bad idea. Julie, explain.
Yes, so there are some parents who have gotten involved in their kids' group chats and text messages. When there's drama with friends, there have been times where kids have turned to their parents for help trying to figure out what to say. And in some cases, parents simply talk things through and advise their kids. In other cases, they're actually writing the message for their kids as their kids, not necessarily identifying themselves as the parent, but just writing the message for them.
Generally speaking, you don't have to identify yourself as a parent, because when the other kid receives that text, he or she will know that it was a mom or dad who wrote the text.
And they will know because there will be a full sentence. There'll be some punctuation and proper grammar. It's not the way kids text. So right. it's a dead giveaway when a parent tries to text.
So you hinted at it a little bit, but it is better, I guess, just to be a consultant, not the actual ghostwriter of your kids' texts.
Yeah, there's certainly nothing wrong with advising your child. I mean, this whole, you know, texting with kids is really a social minefield. You know, there can be a lot of repercussions from saying the wrong thing in a text. It's there in writing forever. It can be screenshot and saved and shared, and, you know, it can lead to more drama. So it is important for kids to learn how to communicate properly and not stoke drama. And so that's where parents can come in and provide some good guidance on how to smooth things over if there's some sort of dispute. But actually writing for your child and not giving your child the opportunity to figure out how to communicate on their own, that's where the trouble comes in.
We're speaking with Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Don't Be the Parent Who Ghostwrites the Kid's Text. All right, so you put together like some tips on what kind of what teenagers can do in these scenarios. So what would you recommend?
Yeah, well, I think first off, it's good for kids to let other friends of theirs know that, you know, if their parents monitor their phones and glance at their texts every so often, sometimes it can help, not guaranteed, but it could help keep things civil in the group chat if everybody in it knows parents might be looking at the texts. And maybe that's just a given these days anyway. I think a lot of parents do occasionally look at their kids' phones. If there's something getting heated or seeming to be misunderstood in a text thread and you're not sure how to respond, just step away for a while. You know, cool down, don't respond in the heat of the moment, and, you know, come back when you've kind of collected your thoughts and you're not feeling emotional.
That's got to be hard as a teenager, though, because you know the immediacy that they expect.
Yes, they do expect an immediate response. And then, you know, having a delay can cause the other people to wonder what's going on. But, you know, if you're responding in anger or in the moment when emotions are running high, you're probably going to not create a good response. Yeah. Another tip is just to, you know, and these may seem obvious to adults, but they're not so obvious to a lot of kids. And that is to show restraint if you're on the other end of the text exchange. You are sending the message and you're not getting an immediate response, don't keep texting the person back and saying, hello, are you there? What's going on? Just realize that other people have other things to do. They may not be on their phone 24/7, even though it may seem like teens are on their phones 24/7. So just, you know, chill out.
Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Behind the headlines. Above the noise, you're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, February 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Officials say the Chinese spy balloon was able to collect intel and could destroy itself. More than 21,000 dead from the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. 15 million people could lose Medicaid coverage after the pandemic health emergency is lifted. Mike Pence subpoenaed over the 2020 election. Hunter Biden's legal team resists a records request from House Republicans. Florida will no longer require high school athletes to provide menstrual histories. And why a Vietnamese restaurant in California has gone viral. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Fox says it has sold out all of its Super Bowl 57 ad space for Sunday's battle between the Chiefs and Eagles in Phoenix. Question regarding those ads, do you get a return on your investment of roughly $7 million for a 30-second spot? Here's Adam Ruggieri, Chief Marketing Officer and co-founder of Agency Partner Interactive, a digital marketing firm in Dallas. Adam, is it worth the big money?
Yeah, spending those millions, is it worth it? It can be. It's not always worth it, but it definitely can be. And you know what? The price of advertising this year has certainly kind of, I guess, paralleled inflation in some ways. It's a lot more expensive to advertise this year than it was a couple of years ago. I mean, we're talking about $7 million for 30-second spots. And if you look back to 2021, you could get a 30-second spot for $5.6 million. And that's really just to get your ad front and center in front of 100 million people who watch the Super Bowl every year. This year, Anheuser-Busch is going to be remaining kind of in that number one spot as one of the biggest advertisers. They've purchased 3 minutes of airtime. So, you know, you could just, at $7 million per 30 seconds, you right. can imagine they probably got a bit of a sweetheart deal. But, you know, what does this kind of advertising do for a brand? Well, you know, it really can legitimize and bring some otherwise unknown brands to the forefront. If you think about years past, last year was the quote-unquote crypto bowl.
Yeah.
You may recall, right, you saw FTX advertising, and unfortunately that did not go well for them. But you know, other brands like Coinbase, for example, a crypto exchange running an ad that was basically saying something to the tune of less talk, more Bitcoin. What did that ad do? It literally crashed the company's servers. It brought so much web traffic to the
wow.
business
really?
That it crashed their servers. So this year should be pretty exciting. I'm expecting to see Gronkowski attempt to kick a field goal as part of a $10,000 or $10 million sweepstakes for FanDuel.
Kick, catch, who cares? It's football.
What?
And it's going to be live in front of millions of people.
Linda,
it's called the Kick of Destiny.
Yep.
And you know, Gronkowski's a pretty likable character, right? So I think that we're all going to probably cheer him on as he tries to kick that field goal.
We're speaking with Adam Ruggieri. He's the co-founder of Agency Partner Interactive, a digital marketing firm in Dallas. We're talking about Super Bowl ads. You brought up an item that made me think, is it better, a Super Bowl ad, for introducing a product or reinforcing a brand's image?
Great question. And frankly, not to sound like Deion Sanders in the 90s with the stuffed crust pizza commercials, but both. If you're a more unknown brand, if you think to 2021, there was a product called Oat Milk, which is kind of an alternative to dairy milk. Yeah. It was called Oatly. And their CEO was literally just singing a song about Oatly, about his product.
Wow, wow, no cow. No, no, no.
And it was really endearing to see a small company, you know, working its way to kind of fight against a bigger market. And so I think that was a well-received ad that actually made them memorable. But then, you know, the other brands, 2021 was basically a Super Bowl that followed the start of COVID. That was a crazy year. And Bud Light was trying to sell a seltzer product called Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. And they made fun of the fact that the past year was kind of a lemon of the year. Like, can we send it back, please?
Yeah, yeah.
And in that ad, lemons were just hailing from the sky, you know, and it was really a comedic ad. But, right. you know, I think the point of that is it helped Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, and it helped Bud Light really sell a product that was a little bit different. Even though the brand Bud Light was established, the product itself was a little bit lesser known.
Yeah.
And so it makes people more open to just trying it, you know, trying new things and seeing if maybe it's something that they might want to purchase time and time again.
Do you have a Adam's secret top five favorite ads or themed campaigns that from the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I think themed campaigns are probably the way to go, because that way you can, if you think about a turkey, right, you can kind of piece that turkey out and eat it over time. You're like, I'm going to eat a leg tomorrow and I'll eat the other leg, you know, the day after that. With these ad creatives, you're able to get a really like a high dollar celebrity or figure, and you can shoot once with them and then kind of chop that overall advertisement into several different ads. And then use those over time. So, you know, as far as a favorite one, it's hard to say, because I do think that the ads that are able to change and kind of be relevant with the time are the ones that tend to win. The past Super Bowls, certainly 2021 and the one before that, those were following hard years. And so nostalgia, ads that were able to tap back into the late 80s and the early 90s into themes of, you know, childhood for a lot of people. I think those are the brands that were exciting to watch.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Ruggieri from agency partner Interactive.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, even if you don't care one bit about the Eagles, Chiefs, commercials, or even Rihanna, you can still get up for Super Bowl food, which can ease the pain of even the worst game. And no surprise, according to Google search data, we're doing a lot of browsing for various wing recipes this year and chip and dip combinations. Chili is also a big one for this year, with sliders as a newcomer to trending searches. Fox News dug a little deeper and found a lot of city-specific searches related to Kansas City food and Philadelphia food. Kansas City is, of course, known for barbecue, including steak chicken, cheesy corn, and burnt ends. Philly is known mostly for cheesesteaks, and searches for those have gone up exponentially since the Eagles punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. Other Philly foods like soft pretzels and hoagies will likely find their way to buffet tables in other parts of the country.
People are doing searches for cheesesteaks because they want to know how to make them. Okay, it's literally bread, sprinkle the meat, melt the cheese, right?
I mean, you know, you get certain kind of steak, you cook it a certain way, you chop it a certain way. They want to be authentic, Gordon. People want to be authentic. Sure, you can come up with, you know, kind of a not great cheesesteak, but if you want to make an authentic and good cheesesteak, maybe you want to delve into, you know, how they do it for real in Center City.
Got it. This may be a regional thing.
Yeah.
But I'll take the barbecue from Kansas City. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's because we have relatively easy access to cheesesteaks here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll pass
on the cheesesteak. We don't have to drive too far to get the quote-unquote authentic cheesesteaks from where we are. And while you're out there searching for Super Bowl recipes, be careful about how you type in your questions, or you could get some surprising results. Owl photos are reportedly flooding the internet ahead of the big game because of typos people make in their search engines. And all it takes is one slip of the finger to take you from Super Bowl to Superb Owl. CNN says this trend has only grown each year, with many people posting their funny owl pics online. It's become such a trend, in fact, that conservation experts say it's helping to raise awareness for the night-hunting predators. And since it's their week, here are some fun facts about owls. Their disc-shaped face helps direct sound to their ears, which allows them to hear the quietest noises. Their feathers are designed to make them almost completely silent when they fly. And a gathering of owls together in one place, Gordon, is called a parliament.
Whoa.
A parliament of owls.
But I'm
pretty sure they don't gather together. Have you ever seen more than one owl, you know, in one place? They're usually by themselves.
Not unless it was a parent looking over like a
nest
baby owl
or something. Yeah. But usually they're just kind of sitting there by themselves. At least that's the way I picture them, just sitting there alone.
That's fascinating stuff. The disc shape of their face.
Yeah.
Helps them hear better.
Right.
That's wild. It's almost like the guys on the sideline of an NFL game holding those plastic dishes collecting audio, right?
Yeah.
Same principle, I guess.
Some crazy physics there. So you do not want to mess with an owl if you're a rodent of some kind.
Right. So today, owls, and yesterday we learned about woodpeckers. I mean, this is like the week of the avian or something like that.
That's what we're doing here.
Thank you, Mike. If you're financing the holiday season on credit cards, Lightstream is here to help. A credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 7.99% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Get up to $100,000 with no added fees, and you might even get your money on the day you apply. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. To get it, visit lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 7.99% to 23.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit, terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more info. lightstream.com/deal. Thanks for joining us. Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Discover. With Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Despite reports of tipping fatigue among consumers, USA Today says new data indicates we are actually tipping more at restaurants. Square, the company behind many of the iPad point-of-sale machines you might see at a local restaurant or coffee shop, found total tips received in the fourth quarter climbed 16.5% year-over-year at full-service restaurants, and about 16% at quick service restaurants. The hike comes in spite of high inflation and surveys indicating that consumers are feeling stretched thin thanks to an abundance of iPads asking for tips across all types of businesses. It's not tipping at restaurants that some Americans are upset about, but tipping requests at places where they normally wouldn't leave one. Another finding, PlayUSA, a website that covers the gambling industry, says nearly 1 in 5 Americans are tipping a wider range of services, and about half say they have tipped when they normally wouldn't because an iPad asked them to. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The U.S. is pushing for more safe passages for U.N. humanitarian aid across the Turkish border into northwestern Syria as a death toll from two devastating earthquakes climbs to over 21,000. The roads along the only U.N.-authorized border crossing were badly damaged in the aftermath of Monday's quake, and the first U.N. aid convoy did not reach Syria until yesterday afternoon. Didem Demirakan of Oxfam spoke with ABC.
It had 10 provinces, so it's a big geography, and 13 million people were impacted. So, you know, it's a big population. So, first of all, the needs are too much. And add to that the cold.
U.S. officials are calling for a U.N. Security Council resolution immediately mandating the use of any and all access points for U.N. delivery of urgent supplies to survivors.
Number two.
President Volodymyr Zelensky took his campaign for more military aid to a summit of European Union leaders on Thursday, where he sought to advance Ukraine's EU membership bid. Zelensky's Brussels visit came during his second known trip abroad since Russia's invasion last February. He was in the U.K. Wednesday speaking to its parliament and meeting with King Charles. In his meetings with European leaders, Zelensky pushed for an associate membership of NATO.
Number three.
The U.S. will explore taking action against entities connected to China's military that supported the flight of a Chinese spy balloon into U.S. airspace last week. Washington is confident the manufacturer of the Chinese balloon shot down by the U.S. military last weekend off the East Coast has a direct relationship with the People's Liberation Army. Melissa Dalton is Assistant Secretary for Homeland Defense.
Of this particular balloon was much longer.
Right.
And the information that we have since gleaned about the balloons that have transited globally was only recently discovered.
The FBI, which is leading efforts to analyze recovered remains of the balloon, says it has so far obtained limited physical evidence. For half a century, Burt Bacharach composed songs for Dionne Warwick, Dusty Springfield, Tom Jones, and Aretha Franklin. The hitmaker behind hits such as Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, Walk On By, and That's What Friends Are For has died at the age of 94. Bacharach had a run of top 10 hits from the 50s into the 21st century.
That's remarkable. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us. A Vietnamese restaurant in California has gone viral after the owner's daughter shared a video on TikTok of her father waiting for customers. Jennifer Lee, who's 21, was home from graduate school and helping her parents at their family business, Lee's Noodle House in Santa Rosa. She recorded her father, Vuong, leaning on the counter of their empty restaurant. He can be seen blankly staring out the restaurant's front door. Yahoo News says Ms. Lee shared the video 3 weeks ago, and it's since gotten more than 1 million views. Lee's Noodle House has received a rush of new customers. Following the overwhelming support, Ms. Lee made 3 other TikToks to provide more info on the restaurant. In a recent update, she wrote, "The amount of love and responses from the TikTok community has been insane. The comment section brought my parents and I to tears." The Lee family first opened their restaurant in 2003. Mom is the head chef. Dad also cooks and serves. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Dell Technologies President's Day business event starts now with deals to power America's doers and dreamers. Save on select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.